I got a good feeling about this. Northeast Screencast.
You're listening to the Northeast Podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Ryan and Jim on this lovely holiday weekend. How are you guys doing?
So hot.
Okay. Yeah. About there.
My takes and my body temperature.
Going to be equally hot.
Yeah, it was like 100 today.
Yeah, it was hot.
Weather app said 101 at one point before the rains rolled in.
It turns out in Minnesota, when it gets to a temperature like that, or maybe it gets like negative 15, a lot of people feel the need to like screen grab it and upload it to some various social media.
Well, the big one is your car thermometer, like your
classic,
because that's always higher by at least like 2 or 3 degrees, so it really gives you that effect. Like
it gives you that oomph,
like it's been sitting in the sun for 3 hours, you go start 117,
and then you get the aunts who still take photos of like the bank temperature, the bank sign.
First, so they're up there trust,
too. Yeah. So it was hot, and but it was a good weekend. I mean, why not?
It's the first bank and trust, but the one, like the three digits, doesn't really work, so like half the one is like the light bulbs are out on it. Yeah, those are good.
Classic.
That hot.
It was hot.
All right, guys. So
those are best opening of all time.
Yeah, so more weather talk coming up. But before we do that.
On the nines.
Before we do that, we need you to give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Northeast Podcast. Also, you can subscribe on Podbean, Stitcher, Overcast, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. Every single week, you can get ours there as well. So subscribe and get the Northeast Podcast directly to your phone.
That's the easiest way to do it.
That's the easiest way for both of us. All right. Next up, we have a beer. We're really excited to get it. Really hard to find.
Yeah, dude. Oh, my
God. It's in like 8 liquor stores. And
they have 8 cans.
Yeah. Dude.
And people all line up.
They didn't make enough of this beer, and they made too big a deal out of it or something, but we have it.
Yeah, and so people, it sounds like, are lining up to try the beer or to get the beer right when the trucks come on Thursdays.
Yeah. I had Thursday off, which is really random. And I'm thinking, well, I'll just get there like, an hour after. They're probably going to be there to make sure they've arrived. And thinking, who the hell else has a Thursday off middle of the day?
Everyone.
Well, other people either took it off or have it off or whatever, because it was gone when I got there. 2 places in a row. But Barter came through. Thank you.
Good work.
Big shout out to Elevated Wine and Spirits over in South. They're kind of an obscure place.
Apparently.
But they always have like top line stuff. It's the first place I ever got Drekker from.
Okay.
I mean, when I brought it on the pod, I was like, have you guys ever had Drekker? You're like, I never even heard of it,
Yeah,
it's just one
crazy
of those things. And now they're just everywhere.
Yeah, so, I mean, well, they'd like to be.
I think they got the main line from Drekker. Like, they're always going to get. So if we're ever in the mood to drink some Drekker on the pod, I think I just have to go to Elevated, and they'll have
it. And Drekker is going to give me a 4-pack, but on Thursday. So, I mean, it's a little too late. I might just go get it anyways. I got to go to Plymouth.
Yeah, get
to pick it up. But should go pick it up,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah, you should do that.
Okay, I'll go do that.
We work in Maple Grove. So
I know,
I
that's what I'm
to,
thinking. It won't
be
to too big
it
a deal. So
that seems pretty close.
I can make it happen.
So to the beer at hand.
Yeah.
Whisper Scream.
It's a horrible name.
Goth band.
Wow, it has got a crazy smell.
So this is considered a Nordic IPA. Really mostly has to do with a specialized yeast that they used. Apparently it was something that was passed down from, generation to generation. The reason it's called Whisper Scream is apparently they would yell into the fermenters to scream away evil spirits that they're trying to ward off that were going to ruin the beer.
Okay. So back in Norway.
God knows when.
Okay.
Yeah. So one of those things where like, listen, dude, if you don't scream at the beer, this shit's going to go rotten. It happened at one time to my uncle Matthias, and
yeah, exactly.
He got fired.
Sven is fucking done. We sent him up into the mountain. He's gone. Like, holy shit. But this stuff is really good. I mean, okay, it kind of fits in line with what Drekker's trying to do, right? For kind of Viking, Norway. This is the Valhalla series one-off, and they've made a Nordic IPA.
I guess I don't know what makes it Nordic as opposed to like a hazy one. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever, other than the yeast.
Yeah.
But so that, like, they describe it with notes of tropical fruit, orange peel, and pine.
Okay.
Which is kind of a unique note at the end there. So I think it's really good. Nice and tasty beer.
I think it's good. It's you know, thick. It's got a really good soft mouthfeel.
When you said pine, it made everything make sense with what I was tasting.
Okay. It is less fruity.
It smells like fermented orange juice.
Yeah,
I would agree.
It is really good. Like I said last week, it's got a silky mouthfeel.
Mm, silky, yes, bring it back.
Bringing it back. It's more. It has more of like the bitter IPA taste that I think people were very accustomed to. But it's also very smooth and I don't know. It's fun.
I think
it's,
the bitterness isn't too heavy, and it actually makes it a little bit more interesting.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah, it kind of
makes
it
just a crisper or cleaner finish to me.
Yeah, it's somewhere in the middle of like full fruit hazy versus like traditional IPA.
Yeah.
It's like nice and balanced.
That's exactly what I'm getting too. That's a really good way to describe it. It's like the old school meets new school on it.
Yeah, and we're getting to a point now where a lot of these sort of hazier IPAs are kind of starting to blend together, like in my head.
And we've tried a lot now. Yeah. We've probably tried 40 of these things. Maybe up there.
More than 10, less than 40, but yeah, somewhere. Yeah. I mean, but it's been a lot, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, no, I really like this one. I mean, I don't know how much is available for listeners that are out there, but I guess what we can tell you is next time you see something from Drekker, probably just grab it because it's generally really good, and you might end up having grabbed like a beer that everyone's trying to get.
Yeah, and I don't want to get on a soapbox here, but it is important. Like if you do want to be in front of beers, and you want to be able to get some of the coolest, newest, flashiest beer.
Just, I mean, you know, setting the trend, right? As opposed to following it.
Right. Get to know some of your folks at, like, your local liquor stores, right? You don't have to, you know, be exchanging Christmas gifts with them or anything like that. But say hi to someone. You know, if you're talking to some guy, make sure you talk to that same person if you go in and see him again. You know, that way you can say, hey, I saw this post from whatever on Instagram. Are you guys going to be getting this? Most of the people there are absolutely happy to talk about beer, but get to know some of your local liquor store people. You know, like you're not going to always see this stuff at like Total Wine and like the big box, you know, liquor stores. Yeah. Like I said, this little small, tiny shop kind of in the ghetto of South Minneapolis near some like storage facilities in McDonald's has, you know, one of the hottest beers.
So, when nobody else did.
Right.
Nice. Well, good work, buddy. I like this thing. This is a crazy beer.
All right, guys, we have lots of news to get to today.
So much.
Yeah.
We got to rapid fire these things.
Yeah, so we're going to start out with...
It's like the kiss of death. Every time we say rapid fire, it's like 4.5 minutes on the first
tangent, one. Tangent.
So, we're going to jump into Do We Care, and we're starting out with Jim's favorite actor, Jake Gyllenhaal. Okay. He's taking up a role, it sounds like, in the next Spider-Man movie. What's he going to be doing?
Apparently Mysterio. I mean, he's in talks. They usually, by the time these things get out, it's like a done deal every time. So, yeah, I it sounds like he's going to be Mysterio in the sequel to Spider-Man Homecoming. Tom Holland, no reason to think this next movie isn't going to be fantastic, maybe even better than the first, since they don't have to do the origin story at all. They didn't really with Homecoming either, but he also like really hadn't come into his own powers, and he was practicing, you know, in the streets. He's kind of bored. Couldn't really take on top dogs.
Yeah, Marvel.
Now he's going to be full on a badass. I mean,
well, he's got the banging suit now.
Assuming
too,
he,
right?
Never mind. I don't want to do any Avengers spoilers.
Well, yeah. I also heard that Michael Keaton will be back in some capacity. I don't know what that's
and that
be.
That like gangster guy.
Who?
Like the gangster guy that Michael Keaton ran into in prison at the end.
Oh, okay, yeah. I don't remember who that
no,
was.
No, I don't remember that at all. Do you mean...
So at the very end, Michael Keaton's in jail.
Right.
And like, this like gangster guy was like, I heard you have an idea who he is. And he's like, kind of intimidating. And then he's like, nope, don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
And he's like, all right, we'll find out.
All right, I don't know. So that was probably somebody we should have known. Like, oh, well, that's, you know,
but
Kingpin,
but
not probably Kingpin. I mean, it could have been, I guess. Even though he's like a daredevil villain, but
I
same
just,
universe.
I think what's fun about it is just that they are, you know, making it so, you know, they're building characters into this universe that might be more permanent.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest, where comic books have gone astray, is where villains die always, mm-hmm. or they are gone forever. And I think the returning villain, even if they're a smaller part of it, is really fun.
Well, what's the best part of some of the Batman movies? The Joker.
Yeah.
Is like the best nemesis. And that's what, like, the play off of the weaknesses and how to try and thwart the good guy and all that stuff. And
yeah.
So, yeah.
And even if it's just, at the end of this movie, the Vulture breaks out of jail or something like that. Right. Yeah. And so it's just sort of like plant seed for the future. And maybe, in the third movie, he's not the main villain again, but he's going to be involved. He'll be mixing it up. I think it's very good, especially when you get a guy like Keaton that really nailed the Vulture the first time. Why just throw him to the side and bet on Gyllenhaal?
Right. So do we care that Jake Gyllenhaal's involved?
Yeah, we care.
Do you think we would care?
Do we know about Mysterio? Do we know what the hell he does? Well, so he's really flashy.
So I read something on, I think it was Entertainment Weekly, that he's like a stunt, like a movie stunt performer. So he does a lot of his heisting or criminal activity via pyrotechnics and, illusions, okay. if you will, in not so many words. I mean, I guess that's the high level version of it.
That's all we need, because we have like 15 more of these. We care.
Right. Next up, Lego Movie 2 will be out in February of 2019. Do we care?
I don't yet, because my two-year-old's not really into movies yet.
Yeah, I'm gonna say I don't, but I really enjoyed the first one. I'll watch it probably when it hits HBO, because they'll probably buy it again. The first one is really, really fantastic and super funny, but I'm not gonna go to the movie. Yeah, it was really funny. And we got Chris Pratt back, and it'll be great.
If your kids were like 9 and 7, this would be like top of the list, right?
The only reason I guess I don't care is because it was inevitable. It was going to happen, so it's kind of like not huge news. It's just nice to see it confirmed.
Well, plus they did the Ninjago movie a couple years ago too, like
Batman, of course.
Yeah.
By the way, I'd watch that Ninjago movie. It's so damn funny. Oh man, it might be funnier than the Lego movie.
Do we care?
No.
Man. All right, Enchantment, a new show on Netflix coming out August 17th. What do we know about it?
It's called Disenchantment, I think.
Oh, Disenchantment.
Disenchantment. So I do care about this one. This is Matt Groening's next animated show. He's doing it for Netflix. So in this one, he's done, what has he had so far? He's had, obviously, The Simpsons, longest running show on television, massive phenomenon. He did Futurama, better than Simpsons, by the way. Futurama's great, struggled a little bit. Canceled, picked back up, whatever, it's done now. And now they're doing Disenchanted, and it's going to be like kind of like a medieval, sorcerers and dragons and all that shit set back, in this magical fantasy period.
I'm hearing it's The Simpsons meets Game of Thrones.
There you go, sure. Well, it's definitely The Simpsons meets something, because, even the animation style is going to be the same as what we really are used to seeing.
I don't care.
Don't care? You think it's going to be bad?
I just think that his magic is gone.
Okay.
I just don't think he has it anymore. And I don't even think his humor is meant for the time we live in.
That's rough. Yeah, Barter, I'm looking at Barter because I really need his take on this.
It's like watching Beavis and Butthead and you're like, we don't think those things are funny anymore.
Beavis and Butthead was never funny, dude. I'm sorry. It was just weird.
So if it gets closer to since it's Netflix, like Rick and Morty type humor, like even further than Family Guy, I think it will be good.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe taking some tones from Futurama. But if it's closer to The Simpsons, I'm not going to be that interested.
Yeah.
So I'll wait to see a little bit more on it.
I think it will be closer to Futurama because it's like a high concept again, right? Family in Springfield.
I think we should care.
I care. Really do. I do care. If they told me it was like hard R,
I would be more interested. But Matt
Groening doesn't.
No, he doesn't. He does humor for kids.
Okay. Maybe that's the problem, because he doesn't do hard R humor for kids. Like, it's,
yeah,
a lot of innuendo. All right. Well, I think we care.
All right. Next up, HBO having a Watchmen series.
This is big time.
What do we know?
I mean, HBO, like we've talked about, has been trying to grasp their next big hit, right? I mean, we maybe don't think Westworld is it, and we're sort of hoping that one of these, Game of Thrones spinoffs is going to be it.
I think they know their next big hit, and it's a Game of Thrones spinoff.
Yeah, I mean, probably, but they're going big on this one. So they got Damon Lindelof, dude from Lost. He's, executive produced and written some other stuff too. you know, so he's trying to adapt this really massive story, this comic book, into a show, and it's just been announced. We've known it was going to happen for a while, but they just announced it's not going to be an adaptation of the story that we know, which is, you know, they made a movie out of it. Zack Snyder did it. I liked the movie. It had its flaws. It got kind of panned. Cost more than I think it made. But this is going to be different, man. It's going to be like, you know, an original story based in their universe.
I think I care.
Okay.
I think that will be fun.
It's hard to get Eric to give a shit about any of this stuff. So.
No, I do. I think that will be fun. I really do. I think I think HBO, they do things right, especially when they're serious about it. Mm-hmm. And when they are trying to bring in the big guns to make sure something's good, they usually nail it.
And they've already paid a bunch just for the intellectual property, so they're not going to blow it.
No, I think they'll kill it. I think it will be a big one for them. And, you know, they have had some huge hits. They've had some huge misses. And I don't know. For some reason, I feel like this one's going to be really good.
But even some of the huge misses were still, like,
fine.
Better than a lot of
like
other stuff.
Season 2 of True Detective?
Or what was the one with...
that was a big miss.
Like, Vinyl.
Yeah.
Like, wasn't that entertaining to me, but I'm sure there are a lot of people that loved it. And
Or The Leftovers?
No, people really like that. It just didn't get a lot of viewership, but really well-respected. Okay, so you think it was a miss?
I think
because
you liked it.
I'm still struggling to get through it,
but I
respect it and I like it. It's just hard to get excited about watching it. So I don't know. Maybe it's not that good then, but it's hard to say. I'm going to finish it. It's on my list.
But all of that stuff in mind, watching those, you'd probably rather watch that than a lot of stuff that's on TV. So
yeah,
when they miss, I think they miss small and intentionally.
Right? I think this is good. If it's going to be a series, maybe pick up after the events of, you know, the Watchmen movie. Plenty of people lived through it. They can continue on from there. I think it's a good option for them.
Okay.
All right. Speaking of good options, speaking of big budgets, Netflix has spent already a fortune on an unnamed movie to be directed by our favorite director, Michael Bay.
And have everybody's favorite,
and
isn't
star
he?
Ryan Reynolds. Do we care?
No. Because Netflix can't make a good movie to save their lives, dude.
Plus Michael Bay. Yeah. I mean,
can you just replace Netflix with Michael Bay?
Mm.
Michael Bay can't make a good movie to save his life.
I mean, it's either way, right? So,
yeah.
And Ryan Reynolds, really, like, and you look back on the movies he's made, his best stuff is his Deadpool stuff.
I think they were clever here because they were like, all right, we can't make good movies. We have no scripts. We have nothing. We've been just throwing money at movies that are terrible. We have to just go out and get a big name director. They asked everyone, and Michael Bay had the biggest name that they could get.
Well, and they got Scorsese, so let's not forget about The Irishman. That's apparently going to blow everybody away. But,
and then they were like, all right. And then we have to get someone that everyone loves and respects.
Yeah.
Because they'll watch it no matter how good it is.
It's true.
Call The Rock. And then The Rock said no, and then they were like,
The Rock doesn't say no.
Ryan Reynolds, we'll settle on
he was
Ryan
busy
Reynolds.
I'm sure.
Yeah
so. I don't know, look, I mean, it might be, at least I think best case scenario, it's fun. It's not gonna be great.
So I think just with Michael Bay, I don't care, but I'm on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see a little bit more before.
Yeah, we have nothing.
Yeah,
that's where they start, is by getting a director. And he might be writing it, too. He used to write movies, remember?
Great.
And then they get Ryan Reynolds. So they have their two pieces, and let's see what they can come up with from there. Usually not the best way to start is just by, like, let's try to make a hit. Like, how about we try to make a movie, and maybe it's good enough to be a hit?
Well, what's your, you know, when you put your Jimmy Channels hat on, what's one of your biggest, like, points when you're telling people and explaining to people why this is going to be good? Writer and director.
Yeah.
And you just said Michael Bay for both.
All right, dude. You summed it up. Let's fucking move on. That's going to suck, isn't it?
All right.
Yeah.
Something that won't suck. Queer Eye Season 2 coming
back. Well, this is your big thing, man. You got us going on it. I don't know if Barter ever watched it, but I watched it.
I watched.
My wife and I really enjoyed it. It was hilarious.
5 episodes, I think. And then
it's
just, I don't know, fell off for us, but.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, it wasn't great. It was pretty mindless television. It was heartwarming. It was, I don't know, it was different. I don't know if I care all that much. If you know, my fiance wants to watch it, I will watch it with her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would seek it out on my own, but I think for, you know, Tuesday night, we need something to watch on TV. Queer Eye Season 2 will be a great choice.
Yeah, I guess I don't care. But I'll watch it. That's the thing. I'll watch at least some of it. And if it's like a major step back in quality, I'll stop after two or something. But it was, the first season was really good. I watched all eight or whatever it was.
Yeah, I think we care. Yeah. It's, like you said, Eric summed it up perfectly. The fact that they got another season is great for them. I think they're doing really good things.
Yeah.
And I think that's important
for
them to continue to tell their stories.
All right, next up, we have a show that Barter's really excited about. It's called Sharp Objects. What do we know about it so far?
Well, I don't know that I'm excited about it because I virtually found out about this yesterday. And so this is based off of the next novel by, I forget, the person who wrote...
Gillian Flynn, right?
Gillian Flynn, who wrote Gone Girl.
Everything she writes, I mean, she probably is like, hey, I'm going to write a new novel, and Paramount's like, here's $100 million. You know what I mean? Like, everybody wants to make her stuff, so continue.
Sure. So it's going to be on HBO August, late August, mid-August, somewhere along those lines. Directed by Jean-Marc Vallée. I'm not really sure how to say his last name, but
he's directing all of it?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
He did Dallas Buyers Club. He did Wild with Reese. He directed Big Little Lies, probably why they brought him back for this.
That's a big deal then. That's a huge get.
Yeah. So he's a decently big name. The main actress is going to be Amy Adams. She's pretty run of the mill for any sort of like female lead that you want to have like solid acting for.
Yeah.
Believability, you know, that type of thing. So I don't know anything about the book. I just know that my wife is reading it currently, and she says it's better than Gone Girl in her estimation.
It's like strong female characters, kind of dark, gritty, pretty realistic writing.
Gonna be a twist.
Yeah, gonna be some kind of good twist. And it's a limited series, right?
And hopefully it has Affleck.
Affleck might show up.
Yeah, there we go.
I can look up the cast and crew, but I did not see his name attached to
it. They might not have everybody attached yet. They might just kind of starting out with the basic pieces.
Like, most of the cast is listed on IMDb.
Okay.
I didn't see him on there. He would be like second or you know, first on the list.
Is there a trailer for this yet?
Yeah, but it's like a junky teaser. Just like a couple like quick 2 second clips here and there. So it was right before the latest episode of Westworld, which I know you didn't get to yet, but it's on there.
Okay.
So you might see a little bit
of it. Well, I'm excited, man. I absolutely care. I will watch it. Assuming it's good. You know, of course, here's what when I say I'll watch it, I'll watch two episodes.
Yeah.
At least.
I'll check
Hopefully
it out.
I get to watch all of them because it's great.
All right, here's one that I'm just telling you guys I do care about. That is Daniel Craig. He made the comment he'd rather slit his wrists than ever play James Bond again. And then they were like, what if we paid you more to do the next two movies than anyone has ever been paid to do a movie? And he was like, I love being James Bond. Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute, I'm listening.
Yeah. James.
Yeah. You didn't say anything about $25 million per movie.
Yeah. No, that's
I think
amazing.
It was $60 million a movie he's getting.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm really excited about it. I think he is hands down the best Bond. I think other than the writer strike, Casino Royale, was that the one that was so bad?
No, that one was excellent. I think it was...
The water one. It was the next
Quantum
one.
Of Solace, which was really horrible.
That one's hard to watch.
It just didn't make any fucking sense. But yeah, other than that, his movie's been really great.
Wait, this guy... We're sending our best secret agent. What's the guy doing? He's trying to divert the water in Colombia. So, wait, hold on. We're sending... we have James Bond, and we're sending him to defeat the guy that's diverting water.
How about like 008 through 15 for this one?
Nobody else is available on the list? So
they're all fucking dead. I'm sorry. It's 007.
Then they came back strong with, I forgot now, the Javier Bardem one. Skyfall.
Skyfall.
That was great.
Wonderful. Excellent. That was probably the best one.
I really think Casino Royale was best. And I think Casino Royale was like a remake of a one they had already done.
It was.
So that one was good.
And then Spectre was just...
it was good.
A little forgettable. Okay. And that's the latest, wasn't it?
I think that Spectre was good, but they were trying to tie up Daniel Craig. Like, they were like trying to be like, this could be it for him.
You could definitely tell.
And so they spent a lot of the movie trying to like give him his like, you know, proper exit.
Yeah.
And then they were like, we need him.
I will say,
there may not be a future of Bond right now without him.
Other than the first Bourne, nobody, and I mean nobody, really does, other than maybe Michael Bay, car chases like the James Bond series does.
Yeah.
There's nobody that really touches it. Some of their car chases and motorcycles on rooftops and things like that are just incredible.
No, I agree. I mean, those are like amazing set pieces. And I mean, you look at like, you know, the Fast and the Furious movies, but those are so over the top and ridiculous that it's not like it's not as exciting or like gripping because right. you're like, well, that's just, you know,
they're racing a submarine with a Hummer on exactly. a bunch of ice.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Well put. Because yeah. But I mean, you know, those are fun. But yeah, the gritty realism of them, fantastic.
All right. Finally,
we care.
I care a
lot.
We
care about that one.
25th yeah. James Bond. It's a great series. I'm happy that Daniel Craig is back. They'll kill it. It'll be great. Mm-hmm. Finally, Boba Fett. We know that Boba Fett will be the next side story, at least, in the Star Wars universe. Mm-hmm. Do we care?
Oh, yeah.
So, I was kind of hoping it was going to be Obi-Wan.
I think that one's coming.
Oh, that'd be way
so
better.
So, that'll be the one after?
Yeah.
Okay. So far we've had Rogue One, which isn't really based off one character. It's based off like a sort of a throwaway line before the first Star Wars movie. And then we had Solo now, right? Which we will review later.
Yep.
And this next one's going to be Boba Fett.
Which makes sense.
Having seen Solo?
I'm just saying it makes sense. I think semi-chronologically without... I'm not going too far.
Chronologically? Interesting.
Just as far as like this, the way they're telling the stories, right? So... I think it makes a little bit of sense.
Okay. I'm excited.
And here's why.
Okay.
James Mangold.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly why. I mean, that is why. He's a really, really fantastic writer and director. He did Logan, wrote it and directed it. Fantastic. Really, really great movie. We all agree. I mean, we loved it.
It won the
Norty for Movie of the Year.
The most honor... highest honor they could achieve.
Exactly.
In the screen.
Well, they didn't get any other honors. I think they got maybe nominated for best original screenplay or something. So
I think you're right.
And then Get Out won anyway. So, yeah, I mean, I really liked it. And I think this has a ton of potential.
So I sent you guys the text. I just want to go over it real quickly. Could you imagine if Disney like took the reins off and said, we're going to go, it's never going to happen in my
opinion.
Right,
right.
But they went way out there and said, let's push this a little bit. Let's get a little dirty. Let's get a little gritty.
Yeah.
Let's like deviate from like kind of like happy path Star Wars stuff where people kind of get shot, but we don't really show it, you know, that kind of thing. Maybe they go a little bit further with this one. I think that would be really exciting.
So the blaster like will definitely take somebody's arm off and some blood will be spurting out and be like, oh my God.
I hope so. My like where I think that they end up going too often, and especially with like these, you know, scoundrel characters, is that you end up getting too many like silly aliens in bars that you're just like, oh man, like I can't take any more of these like just goofy
alien in bar scenes. That are some of my favorite.
It's just like they're like trying to be so shocking with the characters that they made. Guys, I don't care about this yet. Maybe I will as it gets closer. He seems like such a not important character. I mean, even when you watch the original movies, he's not an important character.
No.
He just has like a cool outfit on. So then the internet has just been begging for more. And I feel like, you know, Star Wars and their entire universe and everyone who's been in control for the last, you know, 20 years has been like, yeah, there's not really anything to tell you
guys.
Let
me just correct that. He has a cool helmet on and his shoulder pads are cool, but he's also wearing sweatpants with knee pads. Like, those are sweatpants. Yeah. You're not fooling me, dude. They'll probably update his outfit a little bit.
Well, his DNA led to like the entire clone army, so he's kind of an important character, Eric.
I mean, but they wrote that after the original movies. But
he led the Empire to Han and Leia.
Yeah.
So he was important in that regard. Han, I mean, for all intents and purposes, Han was like the most untrackable, unfindable smuggler mm-hmm. in the galaxy, and he got caught by Boba Fett.
That is true. So, I mean, that was cool. He also was the only person to like stand up to Vader. What did he tell Vader? Like, double my money or something? And Vader's like, okay, sounds good or something. Just kind of back down. I don't remember the exact line, but he definitely stood up to Vader when nobody else would.
Yeah, I would have read it.
Nothing of this is doing anything for you.
I mean, honestly, there's so many characters in the universe that are truly interesting and that I would love to have more backstory on. And, I mean, I would rather have a movie where they were just like, here's a bunch of fight scenes with Darth Vader in his prime.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
but this is like fan service, right? Because Boba Fett is like this beloved mystery character that we know nothing about. And maybe you're right, Eric. Maybe it would be better, like, after we see it, we'd be like, I kind of wish he just would have been like, you know, what we saw in Attack of the Clones and what we saw briefly in Empire and a little bit in Return of the Jedi. So
yeah.
It could be a little bit of that. I agree. But I think this is just a we want, like, all of these fans want these, like, standalone movies, and I really believe Obi-Wan will be next. And they're saving that, you know, maybe saving the best for last in that
right.
Regard from, like, the original Star Wars. So I think Boba Fett is just sort of the next step.
Yeah, I would rather have Obi-Wan, Qui-Gon, Jinn.
But they're never going to do Qui-Gon.
Literally can't think of any other characters, so...
Because they don't. Hey, I have to tell you guys, in the last 2 weeks,
Admiral Akbar, how the hell did he get his admiralship? He was a lieutenant at some point. I better find out.
In the last two weeks, I have watched 2 Star Wars movies.
So you're into it. Which ones were those? Just curious.
I watched the second one of the prequels.
Okay.
Attack of the Clones,
and I watched Return of the Jedi.
All right. So episodes.
Those are not two good ones.
2 and 6, isn't it?
2 and, yeah.
The Empire Strikes Back is 5.
Yeah.
All right, well, yeah, you're into it, but...
I'm trying.
You're not into this.
No, I mean, I'm sure it'll be fine. It'll be pretty good. It will be a renter.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I can't wait to get to Barter's solo review. We haven't talked to it.
That's why we're there. So we ended up with our first segment of Do We Care by going to... Barter's review of Solo. He went and saw it on Friday. What'd you think? What can you tell us? Spoiler free.
I thought it was really good. I know. So you guys, Eric, you filled me in on the numbers. I don't really care about the numbers.
100 and something million, and it's at 71% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Exactly where it should be.
Okay.
I think that's a perfect spot for it to be.
But do you give it a fresh or a rotten?
I for sure give it a fresh.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think one of the problems with the public would be the trailers were cut very poorly, in my opinion. They probably just grabbed like what they thought were like really exciting scenes. But then the other thing that they did a really good job of was not giving anything from the third act that mattered to the viewer, right?
All so right. Well, that's good.
They left.
Every trailer should have like first act, maybe some second act stuff. That's it.
There are a couple clips from the third act, but nothing where you'd be like none of it would have even made sense just watching the trailer without seeing the entire movie. So they did a good job with that. And I think, I don't know where, you know, Ron Howard took over in terms of the directing, but it all seemed very seamless. Like it wasn't anything where you were watching and you're like, oh, I could tell that
the
was
stuff
from.
Is not shot in sequence necessarily, usually.
For sure.
So there's no reason to think you'd know.
Right. Nothing stood out.
Okay, great. And, that's good.
So all of the characters, I thought, did a really good job. I was worried about the main, I forget his name every time. It's hard to pronounce. The guy who played Solo.
Eldon Ehrenhardt or something like that.
Yeah
Eldon, okay. Whatever.
So he was way better than I thought.
Okay.
It also helps going into...
He had some charisma.
He did. And I think he did a really good job. Woody Harrelson was great. Daenerys Targaryen was great. Emilia Clarke. But so they put her hair in like black tar or something because they were like, we got to get the farthest color away from blonde we possibly can. Okay. So you don't look anything like Khaleesi. So I thought she did a really good job. There's a couple other side characters that pop up.
How was the robot or the droid?
Pretty good.
Bitchy?
Just not really. Some parts that were really involved, but not as involved as K2SO was in Rogue One.
K2SO was
phenomenal.
Great.
So I think it was a female character.
It was a female voice actor.
Yeah, very good in the scenes that she was in. So there's a couple surprises that I didn't see coming. Really cool ending. Did not feel forced. It really enhanced my view of Han Solo. Filled in a lot of pieces. You understand why he is the way he is about the Falcon. You understand why he is the way he is about Leia and like relationships. You understand why he is the way he is about smuggling and how he sort of always toes the line between good and evil and like, oh, fuck it, I just want my money. Mm-hmm. And then he shows up at the end to save the day on the Death Star, spoiler alert, for A New Hope.
Right, right.
So Donald Glover, obviously the other main attraction for this, was really good. I thought he nailed the voice.
Okay.
Of Lando, because Billy Dee Williams has a very distinct like dialect.
Well, let's hear your interpretation of
Can't do it. I don't have that. I don't have those deep baritones like.
What do you
does.
Think? Could you do Lando and Yago together? Come on.
All right. No.
So he was thinking about it.
Is this some sort of like a running scam you guys have where you have like a bet, like if I mention it enough times, maybe Barter will do Yago and then I owe
Barter,
Jimbo a beer?
You saw the list of running bets I have with Eric. I have it all written down.
It might be on his phone, but anyway.
Yeah, a lot of people want.
I would never let him keep track of it.
So
people ask for Yago, but anyways.
But I honestly thought Donald Glover wasn't as good as everyone was saying that he was, but I thought he nailed like the voice and some of the mannerisms.
I mean, Donald Glover could poop in a box, and people would pay $10 million for the chance to look at it. Yeah, right. I mean, he is at that point right now. He can do no wrong.
Yeah.
Not saying he's not amazing talented. I mean, he's an amazing talent, but he's a little hot right now.
Yeah, so it was great overall. 2 hours and 15-minute runtime. Like an hour and 35 minutes in, I finally like looked and was like, oh shit, this thing's gonna be wrapping up. Like just that's how engrossed I was in most of it. There wasn't a lot of slow parts. You know, a little bit at the beginning where they're trying to get things set up. Oh, and then you also find like why his bond with Chewie is so strong.
Right.
Like, it's a really interesting
important stuff.
So again, this is like a retrospective, right? They're looking back on things and maybe they wrote them in to make them sound cooler but I don't know where it fits in terms of like the actual canon of Han Solo, if that really exists, like how true this is to like original stories. I don't really care. This is the origin story for me, and I really liked it.
Well, it is. I mean, they've made it that.
Right.
So, you know, if they had novels that said otherwise, that is out and this is in. So I think my first text to you was, Barter, did you think this enhanced or detracted from your overall Star Wars universe? And you said it enhanced.
100%.
So that's very important to me.
It's don't go into it looking for Oscar-worthy performances or anything like that. It's a fun Star Wars kind of cops and robbers movie.
Yeah.
And it's really entertaining.
All right. I'm into it. I don't know if I'm going to see it in theaters
or
not.
You should. You really should.
I should try to get out.
I mean, if you can get to like a matinee at some point, you should really try and go see it in the theater. I think you'll really enjoy it.
Okay.
Why don't you take a day off of work in like 2 weeks when I'm off of work?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Let's do that.
I can do that.
I really think you guys should see it.
Okay.
I'm not trying to hype it up. Like, again, this is not some world-dominating movie. But it's really fun and really entertaining and totally worth your money.
Okay.
I'm going.
All right. So when we see it, we'll come back. We won't do that kind of review, but we'll fill in you and the audience and let you know what we think. I'm excited.
I'm bumped.
Barter's review means a lot.
Yeah.
I try not to overhype things.
Right.
I'm trying to be very, like, level-headed about this. And I think I am.
Yeah.
But it's really good.
Cool.
All right. Last thing. Killing Eve.
Okay.
You've been watching it. What do you think so far? I've watched about 1.5 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
How deep are you into it? And should everyone be watching it?
Yeah, I think they should. For a couple of reasons. So it's, I think I'm on 7.5 and there's 8. So I have like a little bit left of the penultimate episode, which I now know what that means. And the finale was last night. So there's 8 episodes. They're really only about a half an hour long or like, you know, 35 minutes. It was produced by BBC, which has definitely stepped up their game and made some really good stuff lately.
I think they're good.
They made Taboo. They made all the Sherlock stuff.
I think BBC is like, they're what everyone thought. What was Mad Men on and
AMC?
And was that the same thing that had, oh gosh, what's the
Breaking Bad? Yeah, yeah.
And Walking Dead.
Yep.
Yeah, I think BBC is what they were.
Okay. Yeah, I mean maybe, and that would be a great place for BBC to land.
Yeah.
You know, they used to make like just really British shit. Okay, mm-hmm. Like stuff that just isn't going to appeal to wide audiences. And you know, this is like a crime show. I did talk about this last week, so I won't go too crazy on it. But if you didn't listen last week, so this is like a crime show set in England, but it's definitely a global show, and you can feel the budget. You can see it and feel it. It looks great. The acting is phenomenal. They're traveling all over the world with big-ass title cards. Barter, you know how I love the title card.
Title cards are huge.
Now they're in Berlin with big-ass white letters. I'm like, ooh. You know, you just feel like hyped into it. You're like, yes, what's this going to be? So they're traveling around. It's far from like, well, most of the scenes take place in their little like, you know, cop shop where they're like at the pinup board and stuff. You know, there's a little of that just to kind of keep the audience informed.
Well, you gotta throw the office in like the mid-rise of like a London sort of office building, and it's cornered.
Yep.
And it's the only one with the lights on at night.
That's how you'd imagine this. And it's not. It's like a dirty dive place because they're supposed to be like better. No one even knows about this operation that they're tracking this person. But yes, I mean, and there you go. this show subverts expectations and tropes at every chance. It's very different. It's really exciting. It's twisty. The acting is good. It's surprising. I mean, it's really, really, it's a fun show, and it's just a really high quality show. It's really well written.
So far, I'm really into the serial killer, the villain.
I mean, yeah, she's an assassin.
Assassin, I'm sorry.
Total psychopath. She's the best character by a lot. But Sandra Oh, who, like, I didn't have any attachment to Sandra Oh. What do I know her from? Grey's Anatomy, a show I didn't watch.
Okay.
She's really funny.
Who's she?
In this show?
Yeah.
She's the main, like, detective.
Okay, okay, yes, yeah.
Who gets, like, fired early on, but then gets brought into, like, this kind of, like, it's a bigger job, but it's kind of off the radar, and it's a very thankless job to find the serial killer. Assassin, whatever.
Assassin.
And, yeah, it's really good, and she's hilarious.
So you think this is one of the big shows people should be watching now?
Yeah, absolutely. I also knocked out Barry. Loved it. And they're similar. They're kind of similar. They're, like, both funny.
Like, in tone?
Yeah, kind of. Kind of. And they're both about, like, assassins.
This wasn't on Eric's list. You're giving him anxiety right now.
I know. Oh, shit. Just talking about stuff he hasn't seen. Look, man. I would say that Killing Eve is better than Barry by quite a bit. But both are great.
Wow.
Well, there you go.
Awesome. Yeah. High praise.
Yeah.
All right. Anything we're looking forward to this week?
The NBA finals, but we'll get to that on the sportscast.
Really good segue. You should have taken it seriously.
Yeah.
Like, really led us into the next episode. But yeah,
right. Okay. I did not.
All right, guys. Well, we will be back with you guys later this week with our preview of the NBA finals, with us talking a little bit about all the crazy action that goes on at the end of May and early June in the world of sports. And Barter will make his argument for his new favorite hockey team, the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
False.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening to the Northeast Podcast. We'll be back with you guys later this week for our sportscast. Until then, thanks so much for listening.